Good evening, those listeners who are joining into BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for broadcasting us on this beautiful Christmas day. We have the lines open, the phone lines, the conference call. More people joining in still, and I heard just another caller come in. If you please say your name or location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Marilyn. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right.
Everyone.
Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Who is this from California?
Jeannie.
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Oh, Jeannie. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Great. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Like tomorrow, that's exciting. That's real exciting. We're gonna be able to manifest pretty well this year, huh? Who thinks so?
Well, we're 3 minutes away from the hour. I think that wind is going to be here anytime soon.
Hey, just as a FYI, I'll put it out there. In 2002, Wynn did a interview with David Wilcock, and Terry ended up doing the transcription from a two-hour conversation that they had. And if you have an opportunity, it's called A Scientific Blueprint for Ascension. And maybe ask for that. I'm sure it's on Wynn's site, but it's something that you want to look for. About 17 pages long. It's a pretty quick read. And it gives you a good explanation. It's kind of a, I guess, orientating exposition, I would call it, for the Synchronicity Key and the other books as well. But it's a short read. You're definitely well worth your time.
All right.
What was the title again?
Let me first welcome the caller who just came in. Merry Christmas to you. Please say your name and location.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Hello, John. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, my friend. So the Scientific Blueprint for Ascension, that was about a transcription of a two-hour interview.
I asked him about it, and it has a 2008 stamp on it, and he said, no, I did that in 2002.
Okay.
But it's A Scientific Blueprint for Ascension by David Wilcock.
That's
told to win.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And here's somebody else join in. Merry Christmas. Please say your name and location.
Hi, what are you doing here tonight? Don't you ever take a night off?
Tomorrow night I'll take off.
Tomorrow night? Your wife let you come on the call on Christmas Day, right?
Yep.
All right. That's a good sign. are we on BBS today?
We are.
Did they put us on yet?
Yep. We've been there for four minutes already.
we have the most unusual show because we don't really act like we're on the radio. We just are in the flow, and we flow into the radio. We flow into the internet, but the show never starts and it never ends. And notice, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Wynn.
Merry Christmas, Wynn.
Merry Christmas,
Wayne. Oh, it's Lucy and everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys are just going to have to have a more distinctive voice. With French. Is that a French accent, Lucy?
Yes. Yes, it is. Joyeux Noël.
Now, I know we're here with Ron, Dwayne, Debbie, Rosalie, Lucy, Joel, Morgan, Adam, Marilyn, Jeannie, John, and I believe some more people joined in here in the last minute. If you want to.
Yeah, Michael.
Okay, Michael.
Whatever.
Hey, Michael.
Oh, I have you.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Merry Christmas.
Now, did we star six Dwayne yet?
Not yet.
Dwayne, is there anything you'd like to tell us all before you get star six?
Well, yeah, Merry Christmas to everyone.
You know, Dwayne, you're a sweetheart in spite of it all.
I always knew that.
Is Terry here?
I'm here. Hey.
Merry Christmas, Terry. Love to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you and everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Terry.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Now, wait a second. I got Ron's voice really well, okay? Ron has that. Is that a Missouri accent?
Oh, I suppose. I don't know how I qualify for that, though. I've lived here and there and everywhere. I live in Minnesota, but you don't hear me talking like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it's definitely not a French accent.
No.
Now, is Jim here tonight?
No.
Jim is not here.
Nope.
Jim cooked dinner. You guys know Jim is a chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my hat. Lucky you.
And a concert pianist, so you got dinner in the movie almost, huh?
That's right. We got dinner in a movie. And plus, you know, you all heard the story about who Jim was in his past life, right? You hear the story?
Uh-huh. Yep. Raimondo.
You read the book, right, Lucy?
Yes, yes. Thank you. It was wonderful.
I'm not sure Jim believes any of this yet, but he's getting there. You know,
you just have a sexy voice.
He's got a sexy voice?
Yes.
Jim, you better get on the line. Jim?
Your destiny awaits you.
Is he singing your tune?
We're talking about your sexy voice. Probably got his earplugs. Well, since Jim is not on the line, I can talk about him. Terry, should I talk about Jim?
I guess.
Let me go ask him so he doesn't get mad at me. Hang on.
Should we lie or tell the truth?
Wait a second.
Terry, you're breathing in the mic.
Oh, okay.
Jim?
I breathe somewhere.
Do you hear Don?
You're asleep?
Hey, Don.
Hi, how's it going?
Merry Christmas to you, brother.
Thanks, and you, everybody else. Merry Christmas.
Oh, no, people are on the line, and they're talking about your sexy voice. I don't want you to miss it. And they're telling us how lucky we are to have you entertain us. But I was gonna tell them about too many fish. Can I tell them?
I'm sorry, I'm dead.
All right. Jim is in bed. He's dead. He's been cooking. He was cooking turkey dinner all day. Okay. but Jim has given us permission.
Hey, Wynn.
Talk about it.
Call officially at 6:05.
Should we start officially? I don't know. Do I want to talk about Jim? Put it on tape? Oh, what the heck? I may as well. I got his permission. Hang on.
You want to turn that on? I guess.
Pardon me?
You want me to turn that on? You want to record it?
Who's that, Joel?
Yeah. Well, see, I'm sitting here. I can turn it on. Just a second.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. Hey, we have about 26 people on the phone line and however many people are on the internet who have joined us today, and thank you for being here.
on Christmas Day 2013. And, of course, if you're listening, you probably know this is William Free and Terry Brown and Hives. And, you know, it's actually all of us. Terry, you're breathing in the mic again. At least you're not muted. That's a good sign. And, you know, today I sent out a thing called Share, and I'm getting great responses, and I hope all of you that are listening will look for the email that went out today called Share, because, you know, one of the... Terry, you're making all kinds of noise. Okay. If I mute you, you won't be able to unmute, you know? Then it gets confusing. Okay? There we go. Now, what do I see? Rick. Eric. How come you're unmuted, Eric? Did you unmute yourself? All right. So, here we are. You know, what we have developed, and I think it's really awesome, is this wonderful mix of... Gary, you're making all kinds of noise.
Yeah.
And then you're a little too close to your mic.
Stop criticizing me, guys. Is that better now?
Yeah.
Okay. It's we have developed a rapport, and it's this great rapport of reverence and irreverence. You know, I think irreverence is okay, but it's not good if it's just irreverence, because then it gets funky and low grade. But when you mix reverence with irreverence, you have kind of a completion of yin-yang. You are kind of outside of polarity. You know, when things are too reverent, and people that are reverent, that everything is either, you know, good and evil, and they tend to start excluding things as evil. And evil is an interesting thing, because once you can embrace it, not live it, not do it, but include it, that's not so easy in this world, because there are loads of things to be totally indignant about. And they're horrible things. And if you listen to Alex Jones, you'll hear it for hours on end, you know. And the problem is a lot of it is true, and it's horrible. But you can't beat it by being self-righteous. You can only beat it by taking its fuel of energy away. And the way that happens, I may be wrong, but this is my take on it, the way that it happens is by no fear. And if there's no fear, there's no reaction to the evil. And if there's no reaction to it, it has no fuel. And if enough people had no fear, it would be disempowered. And then there's this mysterious thing that happens where things don't happen. You know, if you watched on these calls, there is something connected with energy and technology. Like, for example, on the Sunday call, when we do our healing meditation, oftentimes when we're at a very strong point in the planetary meditation, I get cut off the line.
And I don't usually get cut off any other time. That's just my observation. Now, that could be coincidence. Or it could, someday I'll ask our sources for the explanation for that. Could be the negative coming in and we're picking up, they're picking us up and screwing around. Or maybe it could be the energy is so high that we screw up the telephone circuits. I don't know. But I know it happens in a way that doesn't seem just chance. I can watch that in the future. Maybe it's something in me. Maybe I have some little edge into the negative where they can get through to that. And, you know, the goal here is to build a really strong enough base so the whole planet can shift. I don't know if that's possible, but it's an awesome image. Some people say it's inevitable, but I don't think it's inevitable that the whole planet will shift. And in fact, you know, even starting off with the raw material and the Wilcox material, never ever was there an indication the whole planet could shift, would shift. They said it's a possibility. It's a possibility if enough people got on a high enough wavelength, then it could shift the whole thing. But that's not easy. You know, as many of you know, it's not easy to get people on this wavelength or to intrigue them. And it seems like things happen here, usually serendipitously. They don't happen because of direct effort or talking about what's true in a direct way. I mean, I can't go out into the public. Maybe I can. Maybe I can on George Norrie. We'll see what happens next time I'm on. But usually I can't go out and say, hey, you got to get on my phone line. The Elohim's on the line. They're talking to everybody. There's energy here. You can't say that. People won't believe it. They won't believe it's possible. So it's kind of like we've got to set up circumstances for people to be curious, to discover it. And then a certain amount of people discover it, kind of say, this is what I've been looking for. And I started talking about share, and it's an email that I sent out today, which I wanted to, you know, I wanted to create an opportunity for everyone to not just be listening, but to have a voice to share. And, of course, we're doing this 3 hours a week, and occasionally we do a sharing call. But I was thinking if everyone had something, people are always sending me things. They're sending me music. They're sending me art pieces. They're sending me poems. And I think I've now got a way to, like, pass those on to everyone in the group. Now, I think sometimes that's what people that have blogs are for. They do blogs so people can share. But usually it takes so much work because people say idiotic things and they lose the spirit of it. So I don't really want to create more jobs for myself of having to review things, to edit them, saying we can't use that. I have to do it a little bit. But I kind of know the people that are getting the emails and that are listening to our calls are tuning into the energy and spirit of what we're doing. And that when you submit something, it'll be in the right spirit. And so so please submit something. Do anything. Just put your heart into it. Okay? People are recommending, let me see here. I see. Looks like, let me see. This is Lyric King in Austin, Texas. I'm not going to read them all.
But I mean, eventually we're going to have hundreds of these things. It's going to be really cool. Because I'm just going to start packing them into emails and sending them back out to you so you can read each other's stuff. So many times the world has tipped and turned this year, and I have turned to your words, ideas, thoughts, and the comforted. I begin not thinking it would be so, but it always is. A little miracle always awaits. Thank you. Thank you, Lyra King. And let's see. This is Graham Storms in Lindsay. He didn't say where. Where is Lindsay? Oh, well. Every one of us is so lucky to be able to share ourselves with each other, especially when one realizes that we're all part of the hologram matrix. And when one enlightens, even a little bit, the whole of us enlightens a little bit. The intention of one to be enlightened will synchronistically cause one to be so. Love to all and one. Graham. Thank you, Graham. And, you know, it's a free-for-all. You can put anything you want in there as long as it's got a potential for inspiring and not too long, okay? Because otherwise the emails will get too long. But if you really think it's inspiring, then go ahead and do it. And what else?
That's beautiful what Graham said. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Graham. Now you got Terry and I liking you. You ought to be okay. Let me see. Should I read some more, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. You know, I don't like this new Yahoo. It's so confusing. All right? But, wait a minute. Let me see here. Share your stuff. Hang on. We'll get some more here. Just a moment. Coming up. Here we go. Todd Humphrey sent a link to the Celestine Prophecy, so you'll have to wait till you get that one. It's the link. And then Eric sent a link to the Rolling Stones, Give Me Shelter. And remember that song? It's just a shot away, it's just a shot away. And I used to be afraid of the Rolling Stones because I thought maybe they were evil. I mean, after all, they had an album called Your Satanic Majesty's Request or something like that. And then they had Sympathy for the Devil, that song. And, you know, if you were looking at it from a self-righteous Christian point of view, you'd say I'd be worried about them. But, you know, you can look at it, take it what it is. I'll tell you one thing. The guy knows how to give feedback to an audience like Mick Jagger, like anyone I've ever seen. I saw at least two of his concerts when I was in Berkeley, and it totally electrifies the audience. It's amazing. And here's from Shri in Chicago. Without winning, Terry, and not knowing Ra and Elohim existed, our lives would have been so boring and purposeless. That's not so. Happy Christmas, group. And thank you. Shri also made a really generous donation, and thank you so much. And if everyone in our group donated $5 a month, we would be rolling in money. I mean, we'd have so much money to do so many things. It's okay. I'll just keep mentioning that. And it does make a difference.
when we don't run on a positive cash flow. We don't. Occasionally it goes positive. And the more money we have, the more freedom we have to do more work, to put stuff out. Like when I do something like share, I got loads of ideas. But, you know, it puts another administrative task on myself, which people make donations that I get paid for, but I don't get paid for. I don't look at it as getting paid for. And we don't have any big, how would you say it? Big benefactors. If you're out there, we're waiting, okay? Okay, we have here a wedding invitation from Debbie, I think in Costa Mesa. You are regretfully invited to the wedding between my perfect son, the doctor, and some cheap two-bit tramp whose name escapes me right now. The biggest disaster in my family's history. You know what? I didn't know Debbie was Jewish. Her perfect son, the doctor. Speaking of doctors, did you know that doctors, I read this today, but I didn't check it out, but the average doctor only lives 56 years old. And more doctors commit suicide. And they're making the case that the reason for this is that people join the medical profession because they want to help people. And then once they're in it, they end up killing people. And it's like, for those of you that are not aware of this, this is most definitely true. And you can do all kinds of searches and figure this out, that it's true. That is, the medical profession is run totally like a business. Drug companies like a business. And that's why only drugs which are patentable end up in the medical profession. If there's something alternative that heals something, not only does it not end up in the medical profession, but it ends up being illegal. And even if you have experience, even if you're healing people, even if you have evidence, you cannot have a product for cancer. You cannot tell somebody something cures cancer, even if it works. So I want to tell you guys right now, there's a product called Cell Food that does not cure cancer. Look it up on the internet and you will see that it doesn't cure cancer. And we get all kinds of stuff like that. The biggest disaster of my family's history will take place at 9 p.m. on September 8th and no doubt end in divorce. Hopefully in time, still be eligible for an annulment. The overwhelmingly disappointing heartbreak of a ceremony will be followed by dinner, where nuts will be served because what's-her-face has an allergy.
Oh, my.
And then there's a picture of a guy and his wife, or a guy and his bride, in front of a limousine, and a little note, P.S., we have no idea what he sees in her. Thank you, Debbie. I want you guys to know, we're not doing questions tonight because it's Christmas and because Terry was really tired today. And we're just doing it differently. And we are going to do a meditation, okay? A healing meditation. And, you know, part of, you know, I can't say this enough. One of the most striking things that I learned was with my sister. When I asked them to help, and then she went to the hospital and had this critical operation and survived it for cancer. And then she was at a nursing home. And I would call her every day, and I would tell her jokes. And I would make her, we got a thank you from Graham. Thank you, Graham. you know, I would tell her jokes for 3 weeks. And then she had to go in for tests, and her lupus disappeared. And now I was convinced, I mean, put yourself on my shoes. I got, you know, Daphne talking to me, and I'm having conversations with her voice, and they're wise. They seem to know a lot about how everything works. And but I didn't really know if they were who they said they were, and I didn't know I could trust them, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, when my sister's lupus went away, I still said, maybe they're just doing this to get me off guard. I didn't believe that, but I kept running the thought just in case, because, you know what, it's a huge responsibility to be bringing this in front of people. And I didn't want to make a mistake. I don't want to bring something, and I've watched how people do make mistakes all the time, and they do things because, you know, you get attention, and when you start to rely on the attention you get, because some source on the other side is talking to people, and they're attracted to you because of them, well, basically, you are giving up a lot of power to them, and you're losing the co-creation. So in any case, my sister's lupus went away, and I asked them how they did it. They said they projected a filter into her blood, and then later they told me if I didn't do the cheer-up committee, if I didn't call her up with jokes, then they couldn't have healed her. So you see, when we're doing this kind of stuff, when we're having fun with each other, we are being our own cheer-up committee. And that starts to open ourselves up. So when we go into bringing in higher energies, we are more receptive to it. And it's an important step. Otherwise, it would be, for me, too self-righteous, you know, too rigid. And I think I would feel trapped by doing it. And plus, I don't think the energies would flow nearly as well. So, you know, part of your job, not really your job, but, you know, if you want to be effective, you're breathing into the mic again, Terry. If you want to be effective at contributing to the world, having a sense of humor, if you can find it, you know, is a really good thing to start with. And put some jokes in your pocket and tell them to people during the course of the day. And if you can make somebody else laugh, it comes right back to you. You know, I think Neil Donald Walsh said, you can't do something for someone else that doesn't come back to you immediately. If you want to make a lot of money, help other people make a lot of money. If you want to laugh, make someone else laugh. If you want to be not depressed, get somebody else to not be depressed. The worst thing you can do is sit in the funk and not move it. And I've done that, and I know it doesn't move. It does not move. It just stays. You know, you wake up and you're depressed and say, well, I'll start doing things when my depression goes away, and it's still there the next day. Before you know it, a year's gone by, nothing's changed. So you've got to change it. And one easy thing is, let's call people up and say, I got a joke, I'm depressed. Cheer me up, I want you to laugh. Now, you can say that, that's true. And if you say the truth, people will laugh just because you said the truth. And it's your job to keep yourself up. Keep yourself happy. And How do you keep yourself happy? You make other people happy, and it comes right back to you. And I was going to tell you about Jim. And one of, you know, Jim doesn't entertain us by playing piano. He entertains us by visiting some website called Too Many Fish. Is that what it's called? Terry, now you're muted. Okay. Too Many Fish. Because
Plenty of Fish.
Plenty of Fish. What is Plenty of Fish, Terry?
That's where a person puts up their picture, and then other people that are looking for a companionship or a husband or something, they go on there and they see if they would like to date you.
So it's kind of a dating site, right?
Yeah.
And so Jim constantly gets totally excited. He says, I've got a new girlfriend. He totally falls for people before he meets them. He just looks at their picture, and he's feeling in love. And then he goes to dinner, or he does whatever he does. He comes back, and he's forlorn, and they weren't the right one. Then he goes to the next one. So we just get to hear old stories. And for a while, I said, I don't want to be distracted with this. And then I said, okay, I'm going to flow with it. I'm going to enjoy it. And so once I said that, then I did. And it didn't become a distraction, okay? So in any case, let's see, since we're having a loose talk tonight, does anyone out there want to say anything? I think I'll unmute you and see what you have to say. It's okay if you don't have anything to say. Then we'll do a little meditation.
Merry Christmas from Carol in Canada.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Is that Linda?
I was, I was on Plenty of Fish also, but I never find anybody either.
Well, I'll send you Jim's email, okay?
Okay.
But
apparently I live too far.
I'll tell him you were on Plenty of Fish, okay?
Yes, I was.
and that's a point of camaraderie, okay?
That's right.
I mean, it sounds like a really good connection. I mean, you were both on Plenty of Fish, and you think Jim has a sexy voice.
That's right. Exactly. Maybe right. I'm sure he'd be a nice guy to talk to and maybe see him and whatever.
Well, who knows? He might invite you to Sedona, okay?
That's right.
Winfrey, who is that lady that's always talking?
Who is the lady that's always talking?
Yeah, she's so pretty, the lady that's always talking.
You mean just now with the French accent?
Yeah, she's very nice.
Oh, thank you. This is Lucy from Orlando. Nice. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You're from Orlando?
Yeah,
I didn't
Florida?
Yes. Well, I'm in
Alabama. Yeah.
Now, Lucy, remember, you're talking to Ariel, and Ariel, I think she was Sacagawea. I could never remember this woman's name.
Sacagawea.
And I think she was. She looks like Sacagawea.
I want to talk to you right now. I was reading all about you and Lewis and Clark. It was so amazing. I'm so glad. It was so amazing. You were in your past a very special lady. Very special. I really appreciate that.
Ariel, I want to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Were you sleeping with either Lewis or Clark?
With who?
No, She was married with the French Canadian guy.
Oh, she was?
His name was Stro.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name was Stro.
Charbonneau. Tom Bono was his name.
Yeah.
He was a translator.
You know, it is so crazy to meet all these people and really sense that you've got it right, that they really were somebody, because their personalities are so aligned with what they did in the past. When you look at them, you know, here was Ariel being this Native American guide for these two men who were exploring the country and going into uncharted territories, Lewis and Clark, and then riding around with truck drivers this life, still charting territories, you know, and
but
not being able...
Land. I've been blessing lands for the people because the old souls had to go to help us on the other side. I did Lewis and Clark reenactment.
Well, actually, you got the idea that you were doing grid work. Working with grids, traveling around, and
I know I was. I took a full buffalo to New York City with love and light and the Lord's prayer.
Oh, I believe that. And
I was talking to you on the phone. I've had the full buffalo in the front of the truck, pushing it, love and light all the way. Thunder jumped in with me when we hit that hurricane. It was beautiful.
You know, Ariel, in the story, it said that when I don't remember if it was Lewis or Clark, when you get to the Pacific Ocean, and you insisted to go with him because he wanted to see the ocean. I thought it was, it just touched me. And they find a whale, a dead whale there, you know, on the shore. But you insisted so much. It's like something special, you know. You really insisted to go over there to see the ocean.
In this lifetime, I did that. I walked the whole shoreline all the way from... Chinook winds all the way into the north, up through the whales, because we had a whale beached out there on the other side of Tidewater, and we called that whale and set that whale free with the flute this lifetime. It was
wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
And you see, some of those things are all... I'm about ready to get to Sacagawea right now. I'm charging up. I found a fifth bubble the other day. It's exciting.
Well, you had a hard life because your husband, Jean Bono, he was abusing you and beating you, and you were very sick after you had the baby. And then you get kidnapped. You get kidnapped by some other Indian village or something, and Jean Bono bought you off, you know, from that tribe. You should go to Google and check it out. It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
That's it. I'm inspired. Here's what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I am going to post my picture on Plenty of Fish. And it's a technical problem. I don't know how anybody can view an invisible person, but I'm going to try.
Do salmon. Pray for the salmon.
You know what? I always wonder about when. I always think, Wynn, that you look like Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
In a way,
Carrie looks like St. Catherine.
Yes, Carrie looks like St. Catherine. She does look like her.
I agree with you, Donna. I think he does look like Ben Franklin.
I think he does.
Except he looks like Ben Franklin without a key.
Except that he's more cute than Ben Franklin.
Yeah,
oh, that's
pretty
not
beautiful.
True.
I'm about to mute everybody. Okay. You got to remember, I got the power here.
I know we're telling the truth, Wynn. That's the main thing. As long as we're telling the truth.
you know, if you listen to Ariel. You can tell she's got this motivation in her voice. Come on, guys, we got to get to the ocean. Let's go. Can you imagine that? She's got that ability to motivate other people. She doesn't know this lifetime. She's trying to figure out what to motivate because she has that energy, that adventurous energy.
Yes.
Am I right, Ariel? I'm talking about you. So,
my truck's a big white buffalo everywhere I go. I just push my love and light. And then I get excited when I meet people. I get
Ariel.
Excited. Yeah.
Listen, Ariel, I think you and Dwayne should talk to each other because, you know, Ariel needs somebody to help her pay her rent, Dwayne. And
I'm on a beautiful mountaintop. I need a roommate.
I'm on a beautiful mountaintop. But I, you know, there is something interesting what you just said. When very few people know that I deal with approximately, I don't know, last time I counted, 100 million Quechua Indians, and I do deal with Indians in the United States every day.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
So do I. I speak 33 languages.
Well, unfortunately,
I wish you the very best.
I'm stuck with two languages, and neither one of them I can pronounce.
Where are you at?
I'm in Snohomish, Washington.
That's where I want to go to. Snoqualmie?
Snohomish. Snoqualmie's about a half hour away.
I'm at Loman at the point where Sacagawea Shlagi. They just handed me a heart necklace here, and this is the heart energy, and I'm moving towards Snoqualmie.
Ah.
It's a beautiful place, Ariel. It's a beautiful place.
That's what they said. I just have to suit up and show up, and I'll have a point of someone to meet there. I would love to meet you.
Oh, you're going to meet a lot of people here.
Where do I go to?
Well, just listen for Boeing aircraft.
Ariel, just don't join any multi-levels that Wayne recommends.
I just have to do it from the heart.
I'm teasing you. I'm just teasing you.
Elohim always does really good with me.
I'm going to get in trouble. All right,
you
let's do our meditation now that we've got about 15 minutes left.
I'm going to start 6 you.
Throw it in the light, Elohim.
And I want to tell you, I just needed you, Lucy. I want to tell you how cute you guys all are, how beautiful you are, and how you're all learning to be yourself. You know, the people that keep coming into these calls, and any of you that are listening out there that are sitting in the corner, you know, some of these people were sitting in the corner, and it took, you know, showing up. It's okay. The thing about it is to find out that it is okay to be yourself.
In fact,
that's the fastest way to grow. People think this, you know, we all have this. We have our dark sides. And, you know, when we do this kind of reporting on the call like we just did, it's not really we're doing our dark sides, but we're being our human side. It's all there. It all shows. And it's okay because you don't, by doing that, you learn to accept yourself. When you let someone else accept you, you learn to accept yourself. And when you start really accepting yourself, you start to empower yourself. And it's a process. And if you're listening on these calls and you're just listening on the internet, try checking in for a while, if you want, and check in early, because everyone then says hello to each other, and they greet each other warmly, and a really nice energy starts to develop, and people start to get to know each other. And it can be lonely out there, particularly when you're trying to move into a spiritual path. You have all this awareness, and no one understands you. So, you know, the great thing about the way the energies work now, and I don't know if you guys have put this into words, but putting it into words is we can be in each other's spaces. We are not limited to our bodies. That doesn't mean that you don't honor your body. You be true to your body to the best of your ability. You eat, you make love if you can, you have as nice a roof over your head as you can, but we can share space outside of our bodies. And we do this all the time on these calls. And we can share space with these group souls. And we do it all the time on these calls. And some of you are sharing space and feeling the energy of the group souls, but you haven't come in and done the hello that happens before the calls. And you don't have to. I mean, if you don't need that, if you're in a place where you do have friends or you have personal relationships, whatever, then you don't have to do it. But for some of you, it would make a difference, and you have to take advantage of it. Another thing to take advantage of is team shift. And that's been an ongoing program for a couple of years where we just put people together, small groups, to call in the light every day. And for some people, it's made a huge difference just to connect every day with other people of like mind and to call in the light. And then, you know, once you start lifting your energy, you start opening yourself up to things in your physical location, people are more attracted to you. Your energy is higher. You have to get over that hump where you're self-rejecting yourself. And when you're self-rejecting yourself, everyone else tends to reject you. And it's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's because they're just responding to what you're putting out. So when you stop self-rejection, other people start gravitating towards you. And everyone goes through this. You know, I went through it. Gary goes through it. Gary's gone through it. People go through this, and it's just something to look at, notice, and understand how it works. Because the more you share with other people, the more you stop rejecting yourself, the more you find out you're okay, the more buoyant you become. The more buoyant you become, the more people are attracted to you when they see you in person. They don't feel that rejection frequency. And it just works. So I'm going to do a different form of meditation. I did this the other day with somebody, and it worked really good. What we're going to do is put our hands up, facing upwards, and we're going to imagine all of us on the call and on the internet are holding hands, and somebody is touching your hand, and you're touching their hand, and we can feel a tingling in our hand. We can feel a warmth. We can feel a sensation. And while we're touching hands, we're going to hold that hand touching because that's going to ground the energy. We're going to move, see our energy moving in our body down to the earth, through our head, and up to the sky. And we're going to make a connection outside of the body. We're going to make a connection through our souls, through our spirits. We're going to ask our spirits, we're just going to use our intention to have our spirits touch each other, to have our spirits blend with each other. And we create a group energy. And this is like a temporary construction. No one is stuck here. We're not glomming ourselves together. It's like a temporary construction in the moment where we bring our energies together. And we bring our energies now. We ask our group soul sources, the Elohim group and the Ra group, to join with our group energy. And we feel that connection. And we hold the space. And if you look at your energy, part of your energy is going down to the earth. It's feeling the earth. It's loving the earth. part of your energy is going through your hands to everyone in the group. And part of your energy is going up through your heads to a soul connection with everyone in the group. And a connection with those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, operating in the Christ of light. So that way, if there's any beings up there that fit that category, they can join in our energy construction here. And we are holding this space between us all and moving through the energy lines of our planet, connecting us. And we just breathe into the space. Breathe into the earth. Breathe into our hands. Breathe into our souls. And we are actually grounding a new frequency onto this planet. We are changing the universe by grounding this frequency. Now, some of you make healings in your body. I want you to feel the energy in your hands, moving up your arms and moving into your body. And move it around. Wherever you point it, it will go. So, if you have back pain, move it into your back. Move it into your spine. Move it into the muscles. You know, we are connecting with those sources in the universe. I don't think there's any higher. They are flowing through you. When I say they are flowing through you, another way of looking at it is the higher aspect of yourself that's flowing through you. People always get caught in the terminology, because everything is you. So when you access an energy, it's you. And when it's separated from you, it's the Elohim. But when it flows through you, it's you. It's the Elohim or Ra group. Because there's only one energy. So we have a great circle of love. We're creating a circle of love. It's not exactly a circle, because we're not all in a circular position. But if you can imagine a circle, you can put people in that circle and let this love go to them. Remember, honoring the free will, and the highest good of all concerned. But let's put people in the circle that we want to share loving energy with or healing energy with. And when you have them there, keep breathing into the space until you feel flow. If you feel they're there and they're obstructing, their arms are crossed, they may be resisting. And they may always resist. That's what free will is about. But sometimes people resist even when they don't want to. And when there's energy around them, they let it in. So your job is to hold the energy unconditionally around the person. And when you get it right, suddenly you'll feel a loving energy in your heart connecting with that person. Now let's expand our energies. So we start out with this little healing circle that we're all creating. We see the energy expanding through each of us, around us, moving into the planet, moving into your neighborhood, moving into your country. We're creating a web of love light on our planet. And you know what? It's 7:58.
The next time slot is open, Win.
Time is up?
No, this time slot is open.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Is that what Don said at the beginning?
It's all online.
Okay, so we don't have to rush.
Go for it.
So we'll just hold this energy space, connecting us all, connecting us to Earth, connecting us to higher sources. And we just focus now on moving this group energy into the Earth and loving the Earth as a group. Asking for earthquakes to be limited, tsunamis to be limited, away from population centers. Give us time to expand all of this onto Earth. We will make a huge difference. We expand this energy into all those political countries that are running the world. Sometimes people think they're negative. Sometimes they are. And sometimes they make decisions based on self-serving interests. They make decisions based on the interests of aliens. Let's just ask for the quality of compassion to surround all of those cities that run governments. Washington, D.C., London, England, Moscow. Beijing. Tokyo. And while we're in Japan, let us work with Fukushima. Let us see a light surrounding Fukushima and releasing radiation in a safe way, or disabling radiation in a safe way. We ask our sources to help. Let's take a couple of minutes of just focusing on that right now. And let's take a moment and focus on the sun-moon connection. Sending loving energy to that. And the sun-earth connection. And let's take our hands, which are outstretched, and move them so they cover our heart. And bring the energy back to yourself. And we will end out this call. Thank you all very much, and have a merry rest of the Christmas day, and in fact, have a merry every day. Okay? And you're all unmuted.
Time Oswine.
Thank you, thank you, Wynn.
We'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, all.
Merry Christmas.
The Q&A session started. Your conference recording has stopped. Goodbye.